This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What is up?
To the Fat Bottom Girls podcast.
How are we? I'm Maddie.
That's Maddie.
What's going on?
Nothing. Am I lagging?
No, everyone's good.
Great. I'm recording from Ithaca, New York. Where are you, Chloe?
I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
We also have Chloe Radcliffe. She's here. Hey, Chloe.
Hello. Chloe Radcliffe. You know her. If you don't know her, now you know her. Give it up for Chloe Radcliffe. Clubs and colleges all over the country.
That's my audience noise. Chloe?
Yeah.
Can you? Yeah. Okay, we're good. Maddie's in Queens. At her kitchen table.
Yep, moving to the bedroom where the Wi-Fi's better.
Hell yeah. But
you know what?
I'm in
life is still good.
Haunted house. See this haunted cabinet behind me? That's scary as hell.
No, I think that's so pretty.
Nope, it's really just there's cups in it that's never been used. This house is haunted as 100%. There's a loud noise inside the walls that is a creature that is way too big to be any rodent. One time I heard a banging in a closet, opened it up. There's a black and white picture hanging of a little boy in 1901.
Cool.
So Michael Roland is here with me, not on the podcast, but in Ithaca, and he has to lock every single door before bed. It's very funny.
Are you guys sharing a bed?
No, fuck, gross. He's on the couch.
Wait, no, so what doors does he lock?
There's so many doors to lock. He locks all of them, like four. There's a graveyard also across the street where many of my dead relatives are buried.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Including?
My grandfather, my grandmother, yeah. My great-grandfather and great-grandmother.
Nice.
Wow, you're like Ithaca royalty.
That's true. We are.
He literally is. When Jordan goes to Ithaca, people bring out the red. Well, I don't know if it's a red carpet. It's a carpet.
It's a oriental. Nope. It's a.
Uh-oh.
It is a turf. It's astroturf that unrolls. Or it's a moss. A mossy knoll.
Right.
Yeah.
Are we talking about carpets or my pubes? What's going on here?
My fucking pussy, bitch.
We're talking pussy, bitch.
That's why we can't use the word oriental.
That's right. Okay, Chloe wrote for The Tonight Show. Chloe's an incredible comic. Chloe is all over the goddamn city. She has a TikTok that is like none other. She has a boyfriend who's a human version of a lizard. What am I missing, Chloe? She's my friend.
Yeah, I think you covered most of what's in my bio.
Okay.
Anytime I get brought up on a comedy show, I do ask for them to include TikTok. Like none other, and boyfriend like a lizard.
How do you
want me to introduce you? Oh, just say she's dating a lizard.
Somebody on the show that I just did was like, this girl, she's putting on reels on Instagram now. And I was like, I will end you, dude. I will dox you and your whole family.
What is it with dudes not knowing how to, it's not funny to do that, first of all. Second of all, like the she recently started a TikTok account. Fuck, they say she posted on Instagram today her thirst trap. Like, stop, that's not funny to them or me.
It just comes into their mind and it's just like embarrassing. He did one for Michael too that was similar. That was like, this guy lives with the girl who's just up here or something like that.
Dude.
Let us talk about our interpersonal,
that's so weird,
humiliating aspects of our life.
Totally.
Do you think they're trying to be funny, or do you think it is like a genuine lack of awareness? Like a genuine, like,
I think it's a spontaneous, like, they just don't know what they're doing and they panic and say the first
they
thing.
They panic. and they think they kind of go to funny, and then they backtrack a little bit, and then it just comes out like she posted a video of her pooping.
Yeah, totally.
I don't know why every guy host fucks up in some way, and then he's like, "Well, I made it awkward for her." Yeah, you did, totally. Bitch.
Nothing like following an awful intro.
I know. I agree. Every female host is like, "This next comic's awesome. Give it up for blah blah blah." Every guy is like, "Oh, well, now I'm being weird." Anyway, fuck off. You're not quirky. You're not Michael Cera. You're a grown man.
Yeah. It's like if you're going to bring somebody up and fuck up, just say Jordan Jensen. Just say my first and last name. Don't panic. Don't freak out. Just bring me up. Don't bring me up as this next woman as a pussy. Right. No.
I think they fuck up on purpose because they subconsciously want you to come up to awkwardness, and they're not comfortable with a woman doing comedy, so they want to be the center of attention.
They're trying to sabotage.
Yes. And they're like, "Oh, I'm the awkward guy. Laugh at me, not her."
I think it's panic, but I'm also a accidental misogynist and men's rights activist on accident. So you can't trust anything I say.
I'm the opposite of a men's rights activist. If they mess up,
me and you are opposites. I give so much credit to men because my mom is a man and my dad is a man. And so I just am always like, women are weak, men have it figured out, and I should imitate a man in order to be successful, right. Which is so ridiculous. So. But at least I know my follies.
Yeah, I'm trying to think whether I'm a... I feel like I'm trying to decide whether I'm an accidental misogynist.
You are an accidental misogynist.
Am I the same? Yeah, no, I'll trust Jordan on this one.
You are, yeah. Maddie has like a visceral reaction to men. Like if a man walks into the room, Maddie's
visceral.
Like, yeah.
My boyfriend, you know, takes his clothes. No, everyone but him. But if a guy comes into my space, no.
Yeah, no. I'm the opposite.
Wait, as in if a guy comes into your space or as in if a woman comes into your space?
If a woman comes into my space, I'm like, bitch, what the fuck are you doing here? There's only room for one of us. Which I don't want to be like that. I was just raised like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I was also raised like that, but I kind of unlearned it over the past few years. I think in college I grew very like anti-man.
Yeah.
I was so original in college to do that. But in high school I was very like, other girls? No, bitch.
Yeah, I think my tendency is to be like I found a niche for myself in high school and college as like I'm not like other girls.
Right.
Totally.
Girl.
I think there's a difference between the fucking, you know, proud boy girl that's basically like, I like to play football and like the calm, you know, women are just like dramatic and that's how it is. I think that there is that, which I, you know, I get and I've gone through that. But I think there's also like, there's a little bit of like men are like a little bit simpler than women. So it's easier to expedite past the like niceties and the defense mechanisms and just get right into the like juice of it because they operate more like dogs where they're like, what are we talking about? You know, what are we doing? So I think many of my friends are women and they're not like, but they've always been like, hey, you're kind of a latent misogynist.
Yeah. I don't think either of us like doesn't have, the big flag is like, do you not have female friends?
Yeah.
Yes. And totally.
I have always, the thing that has kept me from being like, oh no, I think I'm not. Like that is that I do have a lot of female friends.
Yeah. If I can think of a few gals who I know who have like all guy friends, I'm like, oh, how do you, and the guys are like, oh, there's the girl who keeps coming around, you know?
Yeah. I just feel like I give more the benefit of the doubt to men than women, which I don't want to do.
I think I don't give enough benefit of the doubt to many people, men and women. And I think it just like winds up, I think I just particularly in like comedy social settings, I just leave a situation, I think earlier than it is like beneficial for me to.
Yeah.
And it oftentimes, I feel like I do it pretty evenly with men and women.
Yeah.
But when we are in an industry where there's not very many women, I think it can like really stand out if I'm not chill with some of them.
Yeah,
I expect that if I talk to women, it's going to be like, if I'm talking to you, it's going to be like, I'm on my period right now and these are all of my six issues, and if we don't immediately get to the bottom of everything, we're not going to be friends forever. You know what I mean? So when I meet a woman who's like a little bit like, oh, we're just colleagues, I'm like, all right, bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. Your threshold is high for what needs to happen in a friendship.
Exactly. Yeah. You guys, I didn't sleep for 4 days. Chloe already saw, but I got a tattoo and it's just of a sleepy woman. Cause I was so sleepy.
Well, it's more than a sleepy woman.
Oh my gosh.
It's scabbing right now, but do you see that? I mean, it's a sleepy woman smoking a cigarette. Like, what was I thinking?
She's, Maddie, it's not that she's sleepy. It is that she is crying cobwebs.
She is? Oh, let me see. I can't really see. It's like,
oh my God.
Now you always have to shave your armpits if you're going to show people.
I don't grow armpit hair.
That's amazing.
Isn't that crazy?
You got that a few days ago?
Yeah. I wasn't even, it was like a manic episode. I hadn't slept in so long and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to get a tattoo. I had like been listening to so much heavy metal and I was just like, I don't give a damn. And I did it, yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily, I fully regret it.
Jordan showed me, the day after, I think? And you like took off your sweatshirt and showed me your arm. And I just, like, I think because I am, my instinct is to be a supportive friend, immediately was clapping, and I was like, yeah, that's great. And then Jordan was like, do you think it's great? And I was like, well, in truth, I haven't fully seen it.
That was good of you. That's should be people's responses to tattoos.
Yeah. What, the claps? The support? Yes,
because it's permanent. Like,
it's because that's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the, like, how am I going to react? You
can't say anything other than it's great. It's on there.
And then we looked at it and then I was like, yeah, I can't say, oh,
what? No, I was you were saying, uh-oh. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. I looked at it and I think what I said was like, I can't say that a pretty goth face in a moon smoking a cigarette crying cobwebs is my style.
All of these are dumb as hell.
I just think it all works I think all of the things you have on your arm work.
Yeah, you need context for it.
I did make the mistake once of a friend of ours, a friend who all three of us know, got a hand tattoo, and it is a bird, but it really looks like a fish. And I spent, the first time I saw it, I was like, it looks like it like could be a flying fish or could be a very stylized bird. And the first time I saw it, I was like, is that a fish or a bird? Is it a fish or a bird? I can't tell. I think it's a, and I would like convince myself in either way. And I didn't say anything about it because I was like, don't fuck this one up. Don't step in this. And then the next time we were hanging out, I just flat out called it a fish. And she was like, oh no. And it's on her
first
hand.
Of all, anyone who's getting a bird tattoo doesn't have any.
It's a very pretty bird.
I have a fish tattoo, so let's be careful here.
It's a very pretty fish.
My fish looks like a big old dick. My fish looks like a big fucking penis. I got it when I was fucking 16 with my dad, and we both got it, and it's so bad. And my whole life I've been like, at least he has it, because this thing sucks. And then he died, and now I'm the only
one. Now he's dead. Now he doesn't have the tattoo.
Yeah. So, Chloe, do you have a tattoo?
Just a birthmark.
Yeah.
That's not a
tattoo. I don't have any tattoos. I don't have any piercings. I don't even have my ears pierced.
Nice. I support that. I don't have any tattoos. I don't have anything meaningful to me. And Jordan and I have talked about how tattoos look absolutely horrendous on moon white skin. It's like trailer trash, in my opinion.
It grosses me out.
Wait, Jordan, do you think of yourself as not moon white skin?
Hey, chill out. Okay.
I think me compared to Jordan is.
I think you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Jordan has a little bit of olive undertones.
Like right now, and it's winter, and I haven't slept in 6 weeks, and that's why I'm white like this. It's also dusk or whatever. I'm a very tan person in the summer. Shut the fuck up. Okay. I'm seeing the same screen you are. Okay.
All of the excuses as to why you look pale. Are valid, but still leave me at, you do look pale.
I'm so pale right now, yeah. I'm also...
Especially compared to Chloe's square. Chloe's square is very warm. Jordan, where you are, looks like it's a cold...
Yeah, Jordan looks very cool.
Yes, it's I am unwell in my physiology, Mm-hmm. And it's also the sun is setting outside. I'm in upstate northern New York. It is snowing slightly. It is a blue
heat. It's snowing.
Yeah. It's really nice here. It's really great. Any other, what else has happened? What else are we dealing with? Clothes are shutting down. Shows are closing down. I have a few.
Chloe, do you have a quarantine routine?
Yeah.
Core routine?
Masturbate while scrolling Twitter.
Yes. I hate Twitter.
Not great. Yeah, I also
hate Twitter. Sucks ass. People are so snarky there. People are so fucking mean, in my opinion.
It's also just like, it's a job. Like, if you are good on Twitter, that is your job, and that is not the job that I want. But boy, oh boy, is it a job I feel like I'm supposed to have.
Totally. There's
Twitter
some people
is stressing you out lately.
You watch people grow on Twitter, and what'd you say? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, man.
When you watch people grow on Twitter, you're like, oh my God, you're getting annoying. And then they got to where they are because they were annoying, like because they tweeted six times a day. And I'm like, I don't think I have what it takes for the Twitter realm.
Yeah, what I don't know, the thing that frustrates me is that so many times people, I think this is particularly true of Twitter, but I think it is maybe true of all social media, but particularly true of Twitter. The people who are big on Twitter are often very socially maladapted in real life. And I'm like, how are we just, how are we excusing?
It's whack as fuck.
Yeah, really whack person.
Even like Instagram's a little better because, you know, you gotta, and TikTok's a little better. You gotta put your face in front of the camera, but the Twitter fiends creep me out because they're text slayers. It's like, let me hurt you with my words.
And I think the other thing that makes me feel bad is that I feel like I should be a text slayer. I'm like, right? I'm good at words. Why aren't I good at Twitter?
I know. I feel
you do seem like you'd be good at Twitter, I will say.
I know. I should be good at Twitter.
It's weird. It's different, though, than like late night writing. You have to like do like all lowercase lingo and be cool with the kids. I don't know. It's a very millennial cool app.
Mostly it just seems like you don't have to.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I, you know, like somebody like Josh Gondelman, who's great at Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, tweets how he talks, doesn't tweet in like, you know, bikers be like whatever the fuck, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he just talks how he talks. I feel like I should just be able to talk how I talk. Ugh, whatever. Yeah.
I've tried it too. I don't know. I just don't think that how I talk comes out funny and how I write.
I agree.
Words.
With myself. I agree with
you. You're like, you suck. But it is very true. You're like, oh, no problem.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Are you both on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, you're both.
We're both.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know if you guys are stressed because you're like, I'm not on it, but I should. I'm not on it. So
I think what's worse is being on it and not having, I have under 10,000 followers, which is like, then you see like a lowly comedian has more than that and you're like, okay, bitch, whatever.
A lowly comedian can be really good at Twitter. I don't know.
They're different skills, but it's just what's frustrating about it is feeling like what the skill that I have, Maddie, I think this probably applies to you, but I'll just speak for myself here. Feeling like the skill that I have worked on for a long time is suddenly now not the skill that is rewarded or that is even visible. And part of that is pandemic driven, but that like the skill that is visible is the one that I for years consciously was like, I don't have to do that. I hate it. So I'm not going to try.
Yeah.
And I look back and I'm like, oh, wish I would have tried. Just at all, ever.
Before the pandemic, I was always like, I'm good on stage. I don't need the internet. I don't need digital stuff. The minute the quarantine hit, I was like, God fucking damn it.
Yeah.
And it's so hard because now we have no content because it's all quarantine stuff.
Yeah.
So there's not no inspo.
Yeah.
I think there are enough platforms that you should just do the one that feels.
I agree with that. I do agree with that.
Yeah.
I still think that there's a degree of like, it's a day job, you know, like it needs to be your job. And I am very bad at making that. Maddie, you asked if I had a quarantine routine. I just,
You say you're bad at it, but you're good at it.
Good at what?
You're great at TikTok and Instagram. You're good at these two things.
I don't feel good at Instagram. And I only feel good at TikTok because I was posting my onstage content. Like I was just posting old stuff. I'm not like recording new jokes front facing to and posting them. That's what I should be doing. I should do that more. Boy, oh boy.
I think TikTok's like the easiest app because if something bombs, you can just like throw it on private or just like leave it because no one gives a fuck. It doesn't Instagram is a little humiliating because it's like people you know.
Yeah.
TikTok is like, if it goes out, even your followers won't even see it because they're just on their little pages.
Yes. Yes.
Rarely, rarely are they like visiting your profile and being like, what's up with Chloe?
And if they are, then fine. They can watch the low ones and who cares? Yeah.
Totally.
No, I also think that TikTok is the like lowest stakes. And one thing that I've wondered about is TikTok the lowest stakes? Does the generation below us also feel like that? Or is TikTok just the lowest stakes for us because we grew up without it and so don't care about it? Like we were sort of initially dismissive of it. And now that we're like starting to do it, like that was part of what made TikTok doable for me was putting very low stakes on it, was being like, yeah, it doesn't fucking, like worst comes to worst, nothing happens and I haven't lost anything. I'm not in a different place. Whereas like if all of our friends were on TikTok in the way that all of our friends are on Instagram or Twitter, maybe the stakes would be much higher, would feel much higher and would be much different. You know what I'm saying?
I think they would be. And I think younger people.
I can tell myself if everybody went over to TikTok.
I think they will, but having a leg up will help.
When they come over, you'll be like, for me, you're not going, Jordan Jensen, you're not looking at my shit. I'm not looking at your shit. I'm looking at some weird little Native American guy who dances around to hip hop. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a crazy, rapid stimulus that it's like, it's like our Instagrams are compiled of direct fans and each other as colleagues, which is such a small, but on TikTok, it's like every single 40-year-old has a TikTok and it doesn't really fill you with your follow. I don't know. I'm not following.
Yes. I'm just saying, I think we are lucky that TikTok happens to be lower stakes for us.
Yeah.
Particularly if that is the direction that everything is going, in that case, like then my hope is to maintain that lower stakes attitude toward TikTok.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I do. It is interesting to think about it. I wonder what'll happen to, I wonder if Instagram will survive it. The Reels thing really did the right thing, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, okay. I have two thoughts. One, I think that just like generally, it's starting to feel like Instagram, like people are sort of moving away from Instagram.
Yeah.
But I think the same thing happened with Twitter a couple years ago, and then people kind of migrated right back to it. You know, I feel like there was a couple years ago, there was like a wave of people being like, fuck Twitter, I'm over Twitter, I don't want to be on there anymore. And like Twitter's just an echo chamber and it's just stressful. And people were like kind of publicly talking about that. And it felt okay to be like, yeah, fuck Twitter. And now it doesn't feel okay to be fuck. I mean, it feels okay to say like Twitter's a sludge heap.
Twitter to me is the best. It's the highest brow. I have not elevated to that point yet. Instagram is next. TikTok is dog shit that you just use to throw shit at a wall and see what you can put onto those other ones.
Right.
But Instagram will now survive because it's,
because of Reels. So to me, the confusing thing about Reels is that it is now a third, or not Reels specifically, but Instagram now has three video outlets. Instagram has your main feed videos that are a minute or less.
Yeah.
Then if it is a main feed video that's over a minute, it's officially categorized as IGTV. Yeah. Now it has Reels, which are 30 seconds and can be in your feed or can't be. And that, like, to me, the fact that they have three categorizations for videos is batshit.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. You did just synthesize all three of them pretty quickly.
Oops.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's it. But it's like, on Twitter, you just post a video. And if it's 30 seconds or if it's 2.5 minutes, whatever. Yeah. And on Facebook, you just post a video. And Facebook, RIP. But, like, and on TikTok, it's a minute, that's it. There's just, like, clearly people are getting it. Clearly it's not like, it's not a mystery, but I just think that the like user interface is not.
Yeah. IGTV needs to go. What the fuck?
Yeah. IGTV is,
I think they'll just move it out. They just started with it.
Or just allow longer videos. Like, why do you have to click, make it IGTV or make it a preview? Like, what are you doing? Allow longer videos and then keep the Reels thing. I don't give a fuck about that, but the IGTV verse, because then everyone's like, oh, I'll keep it under a minute so it doesn't turn. And then there's just minute content when you could actually be sharing longer stuff, but they make you do the weirdo IGTV thing that changes the format. And it's annoying because there's already a million formats to make your videos into for the apps.
I think we're going to have one of those waves of like, remember back in the day when I'm not trying to sound like an old person who's like, they're going to bring back old muskets. But like, remember when it would be like, you know, just a link that you'd click to? I think there's going to be like a retro insurgence of like, this is my MySpace page and these are the different links that you can go to see different things. I think that would be sick. Like you click Reels and it shows you all my Reels, and then you click like, you know, YouTube, and it goes to every YouTube. I think it's going to be like, I have a page.
You think there's going to be one page? Sure. And some people, I mean, like that kind of exists with like Linktree or whatever, but Linktree isn't a...
Yeah, I think it'll get popular. I mean, I don't actually think this, but that would be cool.
I also am hopeful that that there's the like generation below this current one rejects social media, that there's like kind of a backlash.
I think there's going to be like, you know how like the food movement, like Food Inc. exploded, everyone like, oh my God, we need to regulate processed food. We need to stop eating sugar. And people became more aware of their diets only within like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen with apps, and people will self-regulate more, and then there will be more regulation on the apps.
I do not think that. I mean, that would be wonderful, but
I think there's going to be a resistance against...
I think that your day job is going to be social media and then whatever the fuck. I think that everything is going to get moved into phone and screens from 9 to 5. And then it's going to be like people popping pills and doing VR and fucking. And I think it's going to be like, we're going to join the Matrix.
Maybe it has to get worse before it gets better. I think ultimately there's going to be like regulation on it because it's so fucked up.
You think the government will regulate it?
Maybe there'll be like a new administration that's like similar to the FDA, but it's like the tech oversight, and they say, okay, you have to limit screen time on phones and shit like that.
Yeah, because it'll take until there are decades of research on what this kind of screen time is doing.
They're not. Totally. They haven't even regulated that with. They have sugar is basically fentanyl for your body. I mean, they haven't even regulated that. I think it's going to be your waking life is going to be half spent in using your eyes only, and your body is going to be something that you basically feed with like vitamin, you know, but the vitamin culture I think is going to blow up, and it's just going to be like the Fitbit will be something that's like, this is the iron you're deficient of, and you just like give your body the things, and your fucking brain, I think it's gonna be like Wall-E, dude. I think it's gonna be
that's what I was
I do think that we will be fit. I think that the problem with Wall-E to me is I don't think anybody's gonna get really fat, because when you're in the screens you're not eating, and then you would go to your fucking gym where you have x amount of time to. I think it'll be more like the Black Mirror thing. I mean, people are already, VR is getting super popular.
Yeah.
Am I a boomer?
You're a hippie.
Yeah.
But I do think that there will be, I mean, The Matrix is my favorite film, and I think it is reality and what will occur in the world. And I will say, I think that there will be an underworld of people, of artists who will be a little bit more on the outside of it. I already have friends who speak in TikTok lingo. I have friends who are so plugged into it. They go to work, they get off work, they're back into the screen. But I do think that there will be an underground, you know?
Yeah.
I hope to be in that underground.
Yeah, you will. Society's lost, but we'll be okay.
God.
I'm hopeful for post-pandemic when everyone wants to go to live shows again. I think there's going to be a huge boom of stand-up after the pandemic, which will be good for us.
Yeah,
get our fix for like 2 years straight.
Yeah, we do the best art form. Ours fucking, this was like, I was talking to my friends last night. They were like, I want to see like a, or my friend was talking about her dancer friend, and she was like, she hasn't performed and da-da-da. And I was like, yeah, nobody's gonna push to see a dancer or even, and I was like, I thought music was gonna like have a resurgence. Nope, just good old comedy.
I think music will.
Maybe, but it's gotten harder and harder over the last 10 years to be a musician. So comedy, there's no barrier to entry. It's so easy, which is why it's so awesome.
Yeah, but I have friends like who like have gone to the bar and been like, can I play an outdoor show where I play my guitar and people watch? Yeah. And people are like, no. And a comedian shows up and is like, can I do comedy? And they're like,
right.
People have,
interesting.
People are losing their minds, and comedy has been a good, you can put the goddamn music in your ears and teleport yourself away. But there's something about live comedy that has risen to the top of necessity over the pandemic, which
Everyone's like, people need to laugh. I'm like, no, people need to get the vaccine and get their jobs back. But
yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
People need to laugh now more than ever. No, we need to save the old people. But okay, go off on laughing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it just is. I just think it's impressive that it is the one thing that prevailed. But I think it's also, I mean, I did a show the other day that was like not okay. It wasn't okay. And I like was looking at the people being like, can somebody just explain why you guys are okay with this? Like, what is going on in your head? And they were just like, ha ha ha. And I was like, no, 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 really? What? Why are you okay with being there? And they were just like fucked up. They were just like, because we're fucked up and fuck it. And it's like, oh.
Everybody's so done. Everybody's so done. I hope you guys are right. I have long felt like in comparison to music, like comedy's always like, comedy's good, and then you listen to any live music and you're like, oh, comedy can't hold a fucking candle to this.
I know.
Well, that's because you're a comedian.
Yeah, maybe. And that's then true. And one of my very best friends has, to be fair, he has been saying this for a long time, but he's like, I don't think stand-up is ever gonna return in the way that it existed when we all started. Like, what we started in the middle of a boom, and I don't think it's ever going to be back. And he is incredibly persuasive. And so I,
so is that the guy I talked to, the big guy with the family?
No.
No.
No. This is my friend who's, he's out in LA. He, from Minneapolis, but moved out to LA.
Hmm.
That's some boomery shit to say. Everything is
good. No, but what's funny is that he is the person who he's been calling YouTube for a decade. He's been saying like, no, no, comedy is, he's like, 8-year-olds sit in front of YouTube for 7 hours a day and watch their favorite fucking people talk to a screen. That is what it's going to be. And we, and he's saying stand-up is going to go away, not as a, like, he's saying stand-up is going to go away because the generation below us doesn't interact with like a broad set of what, also this is the fucking boomery thing, but like, he is his opinion, not mine. Not mine. That the generation below us curates their own screen to listen to their very select people.
Yeah.
And stand up requires
openness.
Going and watching live entertainment and listening to a variety of you know, of people who you've never heard of.
It is true.
I think the network comedy is dead. I think specials are probably dead. But touring is not dead. I do not think touring is dead. People like to be abused by comedians. They're fucking addicted.
But that's current people. Chloe's talking like 10 plus years out. When
I think 10 plus years out, people still would like it. But I just don't know if they're going to go do it and experience it. Like,
I don't know if it'll have the obsession that it does now. There's people who go to the city for the Cellar, and it's sold out every night of the weekend.
Okay, so we will capitalize on that until we're ugly, and then we'll produce whatever these little bitches want. If they want the freaking TV show, then we'll just make that as the comedian writers. We'll be all right.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know.
Will, come on. I'm just saying, if the pandemic has proven anything, it's that we're going to be okay. I mean,
I try to think mostly short term. I'm like, next year we'll probably be good, year after that. Yeah. I'm just hoping by the time I have a baby, I'm good with money. That's literally my only goal.
Yeah.
Whether or not stand-up continues my whole life, I just need money to have a kid.
Do you want to have a kid, like pronto?
Not pronto, but, you know, like by 36, so.
Talk about this. I need you guys to, Maddie wants to have a kid, Chloe. What do you think about that?
It's great.
Not what do you think about Maddie. Do you want a kid?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't feel like a drive to have a child, but I do, I've always, like, I love kids. I love being around kids. I love playing with kids. My like summer job from when I was 13 and lied about my age to start working through college was teaching swimming lessons to 2 to 9-year-olds. I love kids. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been like, I assume that at some point I will have a child. It's not even the experience of like, oh, I know my body wants a kid. I hear other women talk about that experience and it's really not, it has as of yet not, revealed itself in me. And my mom said that that was, she was 36 when I was born and she was like, yeah, I'd never felt that. I never felt the like biological urge to have a child.
I did feel it more until like maybe 6 months ago where I was like, you know, the more quarantine it's eased into your life.
Yeah,
the you're like,
quarantine just rots everything.
Right. And you're like, okay, I'm gonna get out of quarantine, have like 4 years to build my career, and then turn around and take care of someone else's life. Bitch, I wanna go to fucking Thailand. I'm not, and you can, everyone's like,
Thailand.
You bring the kids when you travel. I'm not bringing kids when I travel, bitch. I'm not fucking.
This is what I've been saying to you, Maddie. This is what, now you're speaking. Now you're.
I know. I've been doing a lot of thinking lately. It's like, okay.
You want to take a little bitch ass kid on the earnings that you've, you know.
You know what it is? I think it's because I've been making great progress in therapy recently. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm finally coming into my own. And now I got to turn around and do, I want to live my peak mental health years.
Totally.
And obviously you don't have to turn around.
Right. And but it does feel like as once it gets, okay, it's under 7 years away or under 10 years away, when it gets into the single digits away from having a baby, you're like, man, damn, I only got 7 years to live. And then the kid comes. Then that's when you're like, do I even want one? When it was 10 plus years away, you're like, yeah, I'll have a kid. But now that it's getting closer and closer, you're like, I don't know. I'm really enjoying my free time.
I was talking to my friend about this last night, and she was like, it's so interesting how, like, we as these, like, 30-year-old women have the conversation, and they're like, do I? But the second that people get pregnant, it like, is just, like, in my experience from what I've seen of my friends and family, is, like, there's just the maybe button is completely off, and they're like, I'm so happy I did this. And you're like, have you been brainwashed by your physiology or are you? And my mom is like, no, I shouldn't have fucking had kids when I did. I see that. She's like, I love you, but that was a mistake that I made. I should have enjoyed my life and done the things I wanted to do.
Right.
But now when people are getting pregnant, they're like, it's everything I dreamed it to be. And you're like, uh-oh.
Totally. They got the glassed over eyes. They're like, no, this is the choice I wanted.
But I think that's real. I mean, I think... I guess I don't think they're brainwashed. I think
no, they're not. But their body has to.
Well, but I also think it's like if you. I mean, frankly, I think that if you are a person who's like, I'm on the fence about having kids, and then you get pregnant, and the decision is made for you, and that doesn't mean that you couldn't end the pregnancy. But like when it's like, well, here's the you know, the rubber has officially met the road.
Yeah.
I just think it's like easier to then to feel like that decision has been made for you in a way that is good and healthy and fine. I don't think it, like, to me, it's like, it just means that they're doing the kind of like, well, you jump in and then the decision is done. And so now you commit to it.
There's this thing where they give you this pill and I think it's an abortion, Chloe. Have you heard of these things? Because they
That's what I was just saying, that like you can end the pregnancy, but I'm saying, right.
Bitch, you can end your life. You could end that baby's life. There are options. Like, I'm not going to kill a baby, but I just mean, like, it's not like a tattoo, right? Where it's like, I'm going to accept it because I can't cut it off. It's like, if you get pregnant.
No, but what I'm saying is the people who say, I'm so happy, don't want to have an abortion. And the people who have an abortion are not the people who are saying, I'm so happy.
Yes. I agree.
I feel like if I got pregnant and it made the decision for me, I am a very indecisive person. I'd still be like, am I into this? So that's why
But I guess what I'm saying is, I know all of my friends who have gotten pregnant, save for maybe two, have been indecisive, have been like, and then it happens. And it's like, oh yeah, this is, I guess, the thing. Every single person I've watched has wound up being happy to quote unquote, have the decision made for them. And that means that like, they already were not using birth control. They already were not, you know, like you're already in a world where it's like, well, if it happens, it happens. You know, and that doesn't mean that every single person, the people who have been indecisive, who I've watched, the women who have been felt indecisive, who I've then watched get pregnant and be like, yeah, I guess it's happening. It doesn't mean that every single day they've gone, wow, I sit around daydreaming about how great this kid is going to be. You know, like all of them are also like, I'm scared. I don't know. What if I don't like the kid? What if I regret it? What if, you know, but like.
Yeah, but none of, what I'm saying is none of them are like, I don't know if I should be doing this. Which
exactly
that Maddie's saying, like, I might be somebody who's like, dude, you know, we talk and she's like, am I making a mistake by having
those people don't actually have abortions.
Yes, those don't. Yes, I see what you're saying. Your argument is if you're having that question, the majority of them have abortions. And I don't, probably. And I'm saying it's funny how once the trimester gets to the point that you're doing it, you just rarely hear of women being like, edit, undo, I shouldn't have done this. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think there is a physiology. Oh my God. I'm recording. Wait, hold on.
Who is it? Is it Mike?
Okay, sorry. Mike just smashed into the door like a bird in a glass window because I locked it behind him. I think it does convey. We're talking about having kids. Yeah, but what I was saying is I think there is something that goes off in your body that makes the...
Wait, what do you mean you think? Yeah, what? We know that.
No, I think I think it's like a physiological change happens where...
Yes, correct.
I don't know, Mike, while you're talking. Don't talk. Yes, okay. I thought you were saying that doesn't happen. I thought you were saying for the people that that doesn't happen with, they just abort their children.
No, I'm saying, like, we know that hormones get released. What? What are we talking about? Hormones, bonding hormones get released. And that is so that the human race continues.
Oh, wow. I think Chloe's too smart for the podcast.
Yeah.
What's going on in this conversation?
We don't like when people have opinions. We like people who agree with everything we say and say, yeah, I agree. Chloe's coming to a scientific journal.
What's going on in this conversation?
What I'm saying is when a woman has a baby, she's you know, she kind of likes it sometimes. That's
I'm saying when a woman has a baby, she turns into a fucking bitch. So that's why I'll be aborting mine.
A woman has... He gets
I don't know what the convo is. All I know is...
Worth a damn thing.
The only reason I would have a baby is so I could see what it looks like, and I feel like that's not a good reason to have a baby.
You cannot have a baby see what a baby looks like.
It would be cool to know. Hey, there it is. I want it to, like, come out and then see it as it's, like, forming and then get rid of it.
You want to have a baby because you're very in love with Andrew and you'd like to see what the compilation of you both would make.
Yeah. And I do think there are apps for that.
That's true.
Chloe, I want to see the real, I want to hold it and then be like, okay, cool, I know. And now I can go continue my backpacking through
Thailand. Asia.
Yeah, Thailand.
Wow, so this is the dream for you, Maddie. You do want to go to Asia and Thailand. You want to ride an elephant?
Well, no, the minute I think of holding a baby, I'm like, well, here's all these places I never got to go to. I'm not talking Paris. I'm talking fucking Great Wall of China. Places I'll never go to. Why would I have a baby when the whole world can be explored?
See, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to go to, like, just basically just, like, Europe. I want to go to places that are just, like, a culture that's like mine, only just a little bit different. I don't want to go full on. I don't want to be an internet. I don't want to go.
Where have you been, Jordan?
I've been everywhere. I've been to most places.
Oh, yeah?
I've been everywhere in Europe. I've been, you know, besides that, like, you know,
Lithuania,
South America.
You've been to South America?
Yeah, South America and Europe. I've been to a few times.
I've never been to South America.
I built houses there. That's when I had
where in South America?
Houses in Ecuador, and then I came back and I was tripping on acid, and somebody walked by me and said, "Hey, you're famous." and I spun out into a really bad acid trip. And then I couldn't figure out why he said that. And I was spinning out and everything got really crazy. And then I got home, and on my island, when I was in the peak trip, there was a giant picture of me in Ecuador holding like a hammer or something on the front page of our newspaper, town newspaper. My Ecuador.
In Ecuador, in the Ecuador town newspaper.
Nope, it was in Ithaca, New York. But it was a picture of me in Ecuador because somebody had local girl helped.
Oh, right. Village. This is one of your, yeah.
Got it.
Where have you been, Maddie?
Barely anyway. Buffalo, New York, baby.
Where have you been, Chloe?
I've been Ireland.
Worn little billowy pants with a camel. Oh, you did go on.
For sure. Well, yeah, I went on Birthright. And so I have worn camel pants.
Going on Birthright is a little fucked up. Is that true?
Birthright as a whole is
it's problematic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. But also incredibly fun.
Did you hook up with anyone?
No.
That's always the question.
I guess I did. I kissed two people very brief. Both kisses were brief. And then there was a third guy who I like had a big, crush on, and he was dating somebody and I was dating somebody, both not on the trip, and both, and the whole like 10 or 12 days or whatever. Oh, I guess the trip is 10 days and then we extended. So the 2 weeks or whatever that we were there was very like, are we going to cheat on our people? And then we didn't.
Chloe, notorious cheater.
Notorious cheater.
Yeah, the one time you should is on Birthright.
I know. Oh, believe me, I have regretted that decision. And then he married her, and I was like, it's probably good that he didn't cheat on his future wife. But dang.
For the listeners, Chloe talks a lot about cheating in her stand-up. You know who we should bring in here? My mom. Hey, mom. She's also a notorious cheater.
I wrote a poem about this guy, Spencer, and because one time after we were home, he maybe I shouldn't use his real name. Oh, well, too late.
What's up, Spencer, you little cuck.
What's up, Spencer's guest?
we were like still texting a little bit, and I at like 1 a.m. he texted me some like inside joke, and it's the only line that I remember from the poem, I don't know where I could find it somewhere, was something about like, unless and until you break up with the accountant and come to Minnesota and fuck me on the top of the roller coaster in the Mall of America, stop texting me at night.
Is that a haiku?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, there's only 3 syllables in that whole sentence, actually.
Yeah.
Wow. Maddie, have you cheated? I never cheated.
No, I'm boring.
I get so divulgent. I can't even walk up to like a stranger without being like, hey, I used to be a mall goth in middle school. I'm about to get my period and I just stole something. I can't, I like fucking say shit to everybody. If I cheated on somebody, I'd come home and be like, I fucked them and it was good. Like,
I'd have a really hard time keeping it a secret. And then like, I feel like then they find out. They'd probably find out. I'm not very good at keeping secrets in that way.
I'm very good at keeping secrets.
Very good at secrets, very good at lying.
How long have you kept have you told everybody you cheated on that you cheated on?
No. Only one person has found out about one thing. Truly, as I was talking about the Birthright, I was like, oh shit, I forgot. The two people who I kissed on Birthright, both of them were like such, I mean, they were both like real kisses, but they were both just so like, sort of, it was like, we kissed in a club, you know, like we were like in Tel Aviv for a few days after, and I went to a club and it was like one of the Israeli guys who we were hanging out with and we made out. And then one of the guys on the trip, we made out in the ocean.
Nice. I don't think kissing is cheating. Unless but in you kiss both, the tip of their dick.
No, both cases count. It for sure. I mean, the person I was dating would not be thrilled. But what's funny is that I don't, I'm arguing against myself here because I did not count either of those kisses as cheating in my head until literally right now. I'm like, oh yeah, I think of that. I only cheated on that boyfriend once, but if you count those two people I kissed,
I think I'm moving in a progress. My ex-boyfriend was like, yeah, when I went to Mardi Gras, I like made out with this girl, and there wasn't, I didn't even have a reaction of like, what? I was like, nice.
It seems weird. You're like, oh, you made out with someone? Okay, go off, queen.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't do anything else?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I guess that was my feeling, was like, obviously you made out with somebody. You were on a shit ton of Molly. What else are you going to do?
I wish that was the attitude. I would be like, that would be a great compromise.
Yeah. I think making out is like a great way to get to know somebody. I mean, it's a great way to not fuck somebody. You make out with them and you're like, oh, that was a bad vibe. Good thing we're not going to fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
I am with my boyfriend. Yeah.
And it's also a good way of just like getting like, okay, like, you know, scratch that itch for a little
while. It's also a good way of getting super fucking wet and wanting to slide their dick inside you. Do not get me wrong. It is very tempting, but.
Yeah.
The risks of making out always can be so severe.
Have you guys ever, my friend right now is in a very committed relationship with a wonderful man and they don't have good kissing chemistry.
I think you've told me this. I don't know. Yeah. How do you not?
I think it depends on. I think it depends on how bad it is.
Do you and Jeff have good kissing chemistry? You and Lizard Man?
I would say when it is in a sexual situation, very good.
Yeah, that's all that really matters.
And outside of that, I know, but I mean, like, I would love more. Like,
you would love to make out on the couch sometimes and have it be cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and that is not the. It's like just little pecks.
Well, Jeff is just somebody who's so easily cringed out. He's, you know what I mean? He's so easily like, don't be weird. Even though he, you know, is doing the weirdest shit with his face and body at all times. He is somebody who's like, all right,
Yes. So yeah, I guess that's why to me I'm like, it depends. Because, like, I'm kind of in that category.
We don't really make out that much unless I'm about to, you know, blow him. Maybe we should make out more.
That's how Maddie and Andrew have sex. She just blows him. That's it. That's all that happens.
It's so easy. I can't.
Is this a bit or is this real?
It's a little bit of both.
little column A, little column A.
Is it kind of true? Is it mostly you giving Andrew?
I do give a lot of BJs. You know, you got to keep them. But I'm not, especially this past year, I haven't been very. Yeah. He loves blowjobs.
I haven't sucked a dick in so goddamn long. I'm gonna go ahead and say that I miss it. Tell you what, that's so crazy.
I don't know if I'm really like it or if he loves it. Go ahead.
Well, no, you're probably both. I really like giving blowjobs, but I just find that when men come, then they're like, it's not. I'm not even saying like he comes and then the sex is done. I'm saying like when a man comes, he's like, well. Now I can't possibly do anything except lean against this pillow and look at my phone.
You know, well, I use it when I'm not feeling sexual myself.
You're such a good partner. That's so sweet.
Thank you.
You blow Andrew to completion when you're not feeling sexual. When I'm not feeling sexual, I kick the shit out of whoever I'm with.
Yeah.
I gotta provide. I gotta get out the tits, do a little dance, let him come on his stomach, you know?
Oh my God, you're such a sweetheart. If I'm not feeling sexual, I eat food on top of their chest or something. There's nothing. I kick them out of my fucking vicinity and I'm like, don't come near any of my skin. It's not.
Me too, but it's been such a low libido for the past year that I gotta pull through, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can really force myself to want to have sex by, well, recently that hasn't necessarily been the case. But
by what? What were you going to say? By what?
By just, I can get myself to want to have sex even when I originally don't.
Yeah.
The trick for me is if I feel attractive, I can fuck at any time. If I'm like, if I feel disgusting, I can't do it. But when I was on SSRIs, I remember that feeling of being like, oh, buddy, the idea of it is just chaos. Yeah. I mean,
The only time, the time when I can't, I just have like not been historically good about saying, actually, that's not true. I guess I said no plenty of times. But if when I would say no, it was always like ahead of time, like in or out of a relationship. I was always like,
oh yeah, you're a horny little devil. This is right. We know this. Your sex drive is pretty high.
Yeah. And so I've always kind of just been like, even if it's like not in the moment, I'm like, nah, there was a period of like 3 months that was very scary. This was before I was dating Jeff, where I was dating around in New York, and actually it was while Jeff and I were like starting to date. And, I was just
while you are cheating on Jeff, you can just say it. It's okay.
Very consistently
starting to date.
We talked about it. Very consistently could not get wet. Was not getting wet with anyone except Jeff. Actually, Jeff was the only person who I was always getting wet with Jeff. But could not
wet
get
with
wet.
Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
our new podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, that was very, but I think I was very in my head. I was just like, really? And then once you're like, come on, 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 then that's the death knell. And I think that's true for men too. Like when men are like not getting hard and they're like, feel self-conscious about it, I always want to be like, buddy, it's like the answer to this should be we stop. Like,
yeah.
And not because it's not non-consensual, but it's just because like nothing's, it's not going to go well. It's not going to do what we want it to.
I've never even seen a soft dick. If a soft dick enters my vicinity, it immediately becomes a fucking Eiffel Tower. I don't even know what that looks like. So I can imagine.
Soft dicks are absolutely horrendous.
No, but I agree with you. It is. I have been in the, I think once you get to our age, you're like, it's more intuitive. It's less like, what's happening to my vagina? It's not getting wet. And more like, an hour and a half before you're like, I'm going to cancel plans with this guy. There's no fucking way, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas when I was younger, it was like them just like spitting in their hand and putting on their dick, spitting in their hand and me being like, I hate your personality. Like, why am I under you? Like,
oh, the spitting. Oh,
dude, the last dude I dated would do this thing where right before he would enter, he would spit a perfect stream down onto his dick. And it was the hottest thing I have ever seen in my fucking life. And I think about it all the time. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, would spit a
perfect... I know what you're saying.
Oh, I know what you're saying.
I would say, pack it up, buddy. We're done here.
Yeah.
Dude, I know. And for all... I mean, I totally should feel that way, but there was something about it that is just...
I lick my own hand.
Yeah. I don't know. There's... My favorite thing is when a dude hawks a loogie into their hand and is like, I'm going to throw that in you, bitch. Throw a little fucking salt in this recipe.
That does line up with everything I know about you, Jordan.
Right. That I'm a fucking rodent animal? I don't know.
For some reason, a guy spitting on his own shit,
it's like a
or
power
on your
thing.
Shit. But if I spit on their dick, I'm like, yeah, you like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think it's a difference between a good. It's like a who wants to be. It's like, would you rather be the bad girl or the good girl? You know what I mean? I think it's like that dynamic. I'm like the good girl, and this guy's like, you're a good girl, so I'll do this for you. Whereas Maddie's like, I'm the bad girl, and I'm gonna.
Yeah, it's a power dynamic, which also is why I like blowjobs, because it's power dynamic. It's like, oh yeah, let me do my thing.
Really
fun. Yeah.
Sit back and let me.
I'm about to impress you. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm way more of a sub, so I'm way more like, do I put this in here? You know what I mean? I'm not like, watch me swallow your cock, you know? Woof! Shouldn't say that on here. We're going to get...
Guys love blowjobs. I'm just going to throw that out there.
They love it so
so easy.
They love it so much.
Like
it's
when you
stupid.
The minute you put your tongue on there, they're like, holy shit.
It's embarrassing. Sometimes they're like, well, is this good for you?
Take a chill pill. Oh my god.
Yeah, I completely agree. Relax, dude. It's like, I don't know. There's something about it that's like, sometimes I'm like, this feels almost exploitative because you're just like such an easy to please child.
But I also think
you have their penis in your mouth, you look down at their feet, are just there.
Their toes are curling up and you're like, ew, dude, like just play it cool for a second. And they're like, my dick is in your mouth. And you're like, is this the first time?
I also think that
it's
those,
so disturbing.
I think that those dudes are dudes who are in love with you.
What do you, dude? It could be a fucking hobo on the street who wants me dead, and
in love with you. In particular, that man.
The curling of the toes.
The curling of the toes is the most disturbing thing. If there is one thing to turn me off, it is exactly that. Is
really,
that, is
I like that,
dude. No. There's a dick in my mouth and I look down and their toes are splaying. Why?
That's so funny. I really like that. I think because I do. Yeah, I really like it.
Oh my god, it makes me immediately be like, I'm my mom, I'm a lesbian. I'm 100% a lesbian.
I'm
I don't
like,
want to date
what
men.
Are you I know, they're like cats kneading a knit blanket.
I I find it to be so incredibly unattractive. I don't know what I want. You know what I want? Sneakers covering it, and I want them to be still. But if I see the big toe separate from its mates in any direction, I am fucking dry as a desert.
Even just looking at the feet sitting there, they got the bare legs and then the feet coming out. It's just all this. And then the hands are just lying there and they're like, they touch your head for like 3 seconds and then their hands go back to like, oh.
Wait, then what about blowjobs do you like? You've just named pretty much all of the parts of blowjobs and said that you hate them. You're pretty much covering it.
I will say there is nothing less attractive to me. I have given blowjobs to dudes who sit back and they're like kind of doing it in this like, yeah, bitch. And they're like holding the back of your hair and they still are wearing their like Nikes or whatever and their pants are pulled down. Right. And it's like abuse almost. And I'm like, okay, this I can get down with. But when it's like,
yeah, that I hate.
Oh my God, that's the only thing I can stand. The idea of being like,
likes the erotic, like softcore kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Jordan likes a pimp. Jordan wants a pimp.
Yes, I want a pimp to be like, you swallow this dick. I am not anti shove my head down. I am pro shove my head down. I am anti, if I hear any of this, I will run my truck through your fucking house. I cannot stand the whimpering. The toes playing. I can't stand like any sort of like jerking, like any sort of like, is
right. But again, that is because, so Maddie to me is the confusing one here because Jordan is much more subby. And so that makes sense. Why, like to me, it like all everything Jordan is saying tracks perfectly. Mm. Maddie is the confusing one. Because
I didn't say that I love giving head. I say I do it as a favor.
Oh, okay, okay, okay,
it's,
okay.
It's to get 10 minutes, we're done for the week.
Okay, Maddie, if you walk into a room and one
like
guy...
I like it as a mechanism for...
That makes sense, that makes sense, that's, that makes sense.
You want to have sex and you like it, yeah, that it can get you out of that. That's what you like about it.
That's what I like about it. Do I like having a dick in my throat? I'm going to say no.
There we go. Yes. Okay.
Chloe likes that.
Yeah, this all tracks.
You like that you can provide equal satisfaction to a man and love and compassion without having to do anything but suck in the dick,
without
which I agree with.
Having to even take my pants off.
But if you walked into a room and there was one guy who was like laying flat in the bed and he was like, hey, completely naked, okay, had like a glass of water next to him. Or another dude who was like sitting in a chair and was like, oh, what's up? And just like undid his buckle, his like belt buckle really quick and was like, which dick would you suck?
The second one, because I don't want to see a guy naked with a glass of water next to him. Something about the male naked form is just absolutely horrendous to me. The butt, the balls, the gooch, plus the upper thighs. Oh.
You might be gay, Maddie. I mean, you might, like, I hear you. But also, have you seen, what about on, like, a strong, muscular man?
Yes, I get turned on by that.
Okay. So you're just talking about, like, weak, you know.
You're just talking about
But even
weird.
The muscular, strong guys with the, when they're, with I the just toes. Feel like the male figure. If a muscular, strong guy curled his toes during, I would say, get out. And you're weaker than I thought.
I would say get out and go call your boyfriend, dude. I would be so hostile.
Maddie, how do you feel about the naked female figure?
I think it's beautiful for what I is. What it is, but I'm not interested. Like
what about a woman laying naked in a bed with a glass of water and like the
I
top
think
of the
a
thighs.
Split vagina?
To me that sounds more like a Renaissance painting.
Yeah, like, I think you maybe don't like naked people.
I don't, and I'm not very comfortable with being naked.
I fucking hate naked people.
If I'm home naked, I need to put on clothes. I'm not someone who's like, when I'm home, I'm naked. No, I'm not.
That's so funny. I'm naked all the fucking time.
I sleep in a bra. I put a bra on after the shower. I wear a wife beater to bed and underwear every night. I have to wake up and look like fucking Hillary Swank in Million Dollar Baby, or else I'm going to... There's no naked butt. Roaming around. No.
No.
Absolutely. If I go into one of my friends' houses and they're like, oh, sorry, like, I'm naked, I would be like, oh, I'm going to go home immediately, and you should think about what you've done.
What if, Jordan, what if I changed around you?
I've changed around you. When we clothing swap,
I think that's fine, but, like walking around naked.
If I went over to your house, remember what Jeff was saying about his parents? There would be none of that. If I went over to your house.
Also, that's extreme. Yeah.
That's extreme. But if I went over to your house and me and you rented a beach house and it was just us girls and you insisted on walking around naked, I would leave with a slight amount of animosity towards you.
Sure. But walking around no clothes, I walk around no clothes myself and around Jeff a lot. But
I wear underwear and a bra.
Yeah.
Around but anybody looking at my naked butt is my worst nightmare. Yeah, no. Absolutely. You can look, I could be wearing shorts and no top or, you know, whatever, or it could be one or the other. It could be Pooh Bear or no, but full nudity is chaos. Why do you think I'm getting tattoos that slowly cover my body?
Chaos. I think the difference between us and Chloe is Chloe likes herself and we don't. Yeah. I think that's really it. Because being naked is like, yeah, I like myself. The fact that I can't even expose myself to my lamp, my naked body, means I hate myself.
There's no fun time where I'm like, oh, maybe I'll take like a nude and now that nobody's here and it's...
Oh, yeah, I take nudes constantly.
Yeah, the more
and
alone
I, don't send
I am,
it to anybody.
The more clothes I'm wearing.
That's so funny.
Me and Maddie also probably... have only eaten like a piece of celery today. Like we just have body shit. You know what I mean?
And
like
the only reason I take pictures of myself nude is to see if I'm getting skinnier. It's purely functional. It's not it's like me standing like that painting by Da Vinci with the,
The Vitruvian man, 1,000%. Or I take a video of me just doing a freaky circle where I turn around slowly and then I'll pause when it's my butt facing just to be like, all right, what if I like don't have my feet necessarily turned the right direction? What does that look like? It's never like, it's always like.
And whereas I sent Jordan 3 days ago a screenshot of like probably 12 photos that I had taken of myself that all looked basically exactly the same. And I was wearing just a very revealing bra or tank top. And I was like, I don't think I can post these because I think they're too, like, boob-forward. And they were very boob-forward. I just took them for fun.
I'll post a picture where you can kind of see that I look hot, but there's no... I wear, like, full body clothing 100% of the time unless I'm dressed like... But I think it is, like... my body is a secret, shameful thing that only comes out with people who are highly trusted in a very curated way.
Social security.
if somebody opens the bathroom door when I'm showering, I will do like a Houdini backflip out the window down the side of the building and disappear into a clothing store while I'll emerge wearing a parka.
Literally.
Like, there's no like, oops, it's like, you fucking get out of here!
I don't know if there's any improving from here, but this is one difference we're seeing is Chloe is comfortable with herself and we aren't.
I've thought about people like walking in on me while I was like pooping because, you know, there are girls who like post photos of themselves in the bathroom. I'm like, if somebody walked in while I was pooping, I would flush myself down the toilet.
I would figure out a way to disappear without leaving through the bathroom. And if it was my boyfriend in my own apartment, I would move to a different state.
I've even thought about like, what if I died and I was like naked and somebody had to like take my naked body out of there? I've been like, how can I? I've been embarrassed for my dead self. Right. Like the idea of my.
Totally.
Oh my God.
I've thought that too. I've also thought while I'm in the changing room at, you know, the Gap. Oh my God, I'm so sorry you guys have to see this to the security cameras. I've thought it all.
It's not good.
Do either of you
go to therapy? Yeah.
No. I know the answer to that.
To have sex with men who see us naked? No.
No, I also know the answer to that. No, like, ever have to change in a gym locker room?
It's towel around, slide the underwear down. Yeah.
You put the bra on over the towel and then let the towel slip out underneath.
Sure, but even like bra.
Or I'll take the clothes into the bathroom stall and put them on.
Yeah. Dude, when I went to yoga, I would go into the shower and then I would take a shower and then you get out and somebody else was waiting to go in and I'd be like, one sec. And I'd get my clothes and bring it in. They'd be like, no. And I'd be like, I'm sorry, you can't see my fucking butt.
Meanwhile, in the gym, there's women, there's obese women, there's skinny women, there's old women, out, tits out, bush out, no bush out. Sauntering around Equinox, don't give a fuck, opening their lips to put Kiehl's body lotion on their fucking legs, or the lotion on their tits, and I'm like in a full Canada Goose, like, hey, can I squeeze by you?
Meanwhile,
no, I would never.
Dude, that's crazy. Yeah, I completely agree. Me in a changing room is like me in a Charlie Chaplin film. Like, as soon as my pants come off, like, a fucking, the locker opens to cover my, you know what I mean? And then, like, as soon as that, somebody comes in and slams that door and, like, magically a fucking, you know, foot comes out of nowhere.
It's literally a magic show. You get the towel, and the naked lady behind the towel. The towel rips off, the t-shirt's on.
The towel, the rugby changing, the like putting, wrapping the towel around and putting my over the puppy.
Over the towel.
As if that looks any more normal than my shitty body. It's so crazy.
I'm with grown women in the locker room with a bra over my towel. And for what reason?
We need, Chloe, you should have a desensitization training camp where you force women to get naked. How do you do it? I mean, did your mom walk around naked?
No, but like I've seen my mom naked. Like we'll like change in front of each other if we're like talking or whatever.
Me and my mom would never.
But she wasn't like a walk around naked, but. No, I remember, I mean, I have, like, one specific experience where I was like, oh, it's okay to be naked, and it was after college. I wish it had happened during college, but I was sharing a hotel room with one of my very good friends, and she, who I, like, didn't, it, we, like, lived in different places.
Yeah.
So I didn't see her super regularly, and I was sharing a hotel room, we were judging the college speech and debate national tournament, and...
Nerd.
She
loser.
Just like walked around loser who likes herself. So she just like walked around in a hotel room and she just like took off her clothes, felt like, you know, down to bare skin. And she wasn't like walking around naked. I think she was just changing. I think it was just...
It wasn't flaunty. It was just like, oh, shit. She just...
No, but it just was like, oh, we were, like, in the middle of a conversation, and she started taking her clothes off and, like, down to fully naked, and then was, like, figuring out what clothes she was going to wear and then put her clothes on. It was not performative. Yeah. It was not... But it just was,
see,
like...
See, I would have seen her and been like, you performative-ass bitch. Like, you fucking think you're so hot, but
no,
I see
but you wouldn't
weird.
Have.
Like... No, but I would have because I'm mentally ill.
But I'm saying you wouldn't have because you are a normal judge of character. Like, you are an accurate judge of character. And so if you were around me like that, you would be like, oh, yeah, she wasn't being performative. Maybe you would turn all of that anger in on yourself and be like, I can't fucking do that. But you wouldn't
think
about her because you understand. Like, that's why I had this experience with her. I've been around people who are naked where it feels performative and it feels weird. And that, and I had those experiences before this one. And then with this one, with my friend, it was like, she didn't turn away from me while she's, you know, she just is facing me and is taking off her bra and is taking off her underwear. And like, I know what her bush looks like and I know what her nipples look like. And like, oh, and that's fine. And we're just continuing to have the same conversation and it's fine.
Yeah.
And that I remember being like, oh, you can just be naked in front of people and it's okay. And that was like a very transformative experience for me.
Yeah, I had like lesbian. My mom's like, my dad was naked all the time. We were like, put your fucking dick away, you creep. But with my mom, it was like, she's gay and has all these like hot young women and word girls, so we're not going to get naked. And she'd be like, I'm not getting naked. It was very like, right. No. It was, yeah, it was
yeah.
Super. Everything was all sexualized with my family too, where they were just like with all these like million partners. So it was definitely like, the naked girls are the ones who come to bang my parents. I am gonna be fully covered
yeah,
at all the time.
Totally.
Yeah. And now no, and there would be times in college where I'd like, you know, be like, you know what, I should just like be, you know, love my body, be naked. But it stuck for, I mean, I would try it for like 3.5 minutes yeah. before I would like just be like, all right, this is just cumbersome at this point. I mean, this is yeah. feels like I'm wearing more clothes than
right.
Yeah. But there's never been a time that I have consistently been naked around a partner. Like, never. I mean, if I'm dating somebody for 2 years, there will be one time where they see me head to toe naked. Oh, and they will be like, oh, that's what this is. And then I will disintegrate into ash and rage all over them for just not being like, and I'm drooling with love and affection towards you. Literally. If they're like, hey, you're naked, I'm like, nope, now we're both dead. And then I cut both of our throats. well, okay. We're at 3:30. We have to go. Yeah.
Well, what a riveting convo.
Dude, that's the podcast. It's a self-hate podcast.
Chloe, you're not a good fit.
I know. I was the wrong guest.
That's, you started off good with how you are. Feel like you should be more on Twitter, but you love your body too much for us. We're not a good fit.
I don't even love my body that much.
You got a great body. That's another thing. You got big tits, beautiful, beautiful ass. You got a flat yeah. belly. You got a beautiful body. Yeah. That's the thing. Me and Maddie have boy/women bodies that we're
both
trying to make
you,
into
both
like.
Both of you. Also, both of you are much thinner than me. Like, that is the reality.
We got the mixed bodies, though.
We have mixed bodies.
And then I got a paunchy stomach. I wish I had a full feminine or full male. It's
make me a boy or make me a girl. But whatever, this boy with tits is fucking weird as hell out here.
Which is funny because all you've ever said is that you want to just look as androgynous as possible.
That's what I want.
So boy with tits is exactly what you, like,
but get the tits out of here. Get them out. Get the butt.
And the squishy Renaissance woman's stomach for me. Get it out.
Yeah. Mine's the like arms that are like soft Renaissance lady arms where they're like, you know, a fucking fruit bowl. It's like a Greek, it's like a goddess thing that I'm like, dude, I can't have these like giant hoodies and then I take them off and I have like a lobe matron mom that like hangs down like a fucking cloak. Fucking, I hate that shit. It needs to be all or nothing. I want to be a
all
moon goddess or a fucking stick
I
want to
be a moon god. I want to be a stick bum or Lizzo. No in between.
yeah. I do agree. Yeah. Maybe we just need to get top surgery, Maddie.
I honestly cut them off right now. I don't give a fuck.
Bitches
off. I'll cut off myself.
Okay.
Anyway,
well, that's
sorry,
the podcast.
Chloe. I think we said too much.
No, nothing you said is surprising.
Yeah. We're just very unwell.
I just don't know how to respond to it.
No, don't.
I just don't have anything.
There's
we
no
need
fixing.
Help.
There's no fixing. You can yes.
Okay, I'm gonna stop recording.
Flat bottom girls and you come flat bottom girls and you come flat bottom.